Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And if you are ready to be empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about how to transform your life with our first guest. And then we're going to talk about what it takes to be motivated and how do you motivate others and maybe even how do you motivate yourself. So let's go right into it. Our first guest is Rochelle Hirsch, and she has been researching and testing methods of transforming one's reality. She defines reality as that emotional experience one has against the backdrop of physical experience. And I just love, she has an education in physics, operations research, and organizational effectiveness methodologies, and over 30 years in the business world, including corporate management, consulting, and small business ownership. Rochelle has integrated over 25 years of study and research in the whole transpersonal psychology, emotional transformation, and metaphysics. And I am just dying to really find out more of what she is talking about. Rochelle, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. And I want you to be living to find out about this now.
I am just dying to find out more about this. You know, you wrote this book called Relationship Chemistry, and you talk about the eight different types of true energy. Can you kind of just give us a little bit about this?
Yes, I can tell you, first of all, how this came about is that I was dealing with a relationship issue, and I had been working over in Singapore for a couple of years and was coming back to this fellow who'd been my boyfriend for 3 years before I left and wondering what in the world I'm going to do about this relationship. And before I actually got into it, I went down to a transpersonal psychology conference in Brazil, hoping that some insight would come to me at that point about, do I let this relationship go because his attention seemed to be more directed toward his daughter than it was towards me, mm-hmm. or do I just live with the relationship not expecting as much? And so I didn't get an answer while I was there in Manaus. Other wonderful things happened, but I didn't get a sense of resolution. But on the flight back, I was thinking, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do. And one of the methods I have for opening up my own insight is to move the emotion about not getting what I say I want. So I went into the lavatory there and did my emotional restroom work, as I call it. And still didn't quite get an answer, but I came back to my seat and was thinking about how this level of attention he had with his daughter somehow just wasn't right. It was wrong. And what to do about that, and how was it going to affect her and me and everything, when suddenly the words came into my mind of, it's not wrong, it's true. And all this information just started bubbling up in me about the resonance that people have with each other. And it got categorized into eight different categories. There's parent-child energy, where the person may actually be a coworker, but you're the parent and that person's a child, let's say. There's grandparent-grandchild energy. Again, that could show up whether in a family relationship or in the workplace with somebody. There's what I call lover energy, which is a peer-level relationship, a natural intimacy, and that's what I found was what he had with his daughter. It was just, you know, they were naturally felt a part of one another. Then there's friend energy, which is like trusting buddies there. There's associate energy, like good social friends, but not as close as friend or family. There's mirror energy, like you see a reflection of yourself in the other person as if they're a mirror. There's incidental energy, and there's counselor. And so those eight types came up, and I started applying this information to all kinds of relationships that I had. Like my mother and I were friend energy. My ex-husband and I was grandmother, he was grandson. And it suddenly all made sense. And that these resonances between people at an energy level, it's not something someone chooses. It's part of their innate beingness with somebody. With this boyfriend, I was mother, he was son. And he had come in to be with me almost to learn, you know. It's like a teaching relationship. So that's how it got started.
Now, does this some grounding work on this part of quantum physics? I mean, you have a physics background. Is this part of that quantum physics area?
Well, it does in the sense that the grounding in physics not only helped me want to learn more about how things work, and it gives one, you know, I'm a systems person. I'm a systems thinker. In my work, I look at business processes. I for a while, was programming for the Yellow Pages system, okay? So understanding how processes work and what flows into the other thing. In terms of human interaction, we all understand, like, if your doctor and you, if he has a good bedside manner with you, right, you feel better, you know. He may know just as much or not as the next fellow, but the next person may be so clinically oriented that they have no what we call bedside manner with a person. And you don't feel as supported. A lot of people don't, unless they just want the clinical approach. But there's this sense of energy between people that can raise your feeling of that things are going to happen well between you or not. Now, so when we talk about energy, a lot of people will say, how do you define energy? Well, we haven't scientifically defined it. But the Chinese, the Indians, they talk about prana or qi, which is all about life energy. Now, if we consider ourselves to be energy beings, and I do, then energy has vibration. It has certain waves. Now, think about those of you who have Bose noise-canceling headsets. So when you're traveling on a plane, you're more relaxed because you're not inundated with the airplane noise and the people around you. Well, the way those work is that the set picks up the noise, understands the vibration of that noise, and then creates a wave of noise, essentially, that counteracts the noise wave. It cancels out a level of the vibrational energy coming into you.
Sure.
So you don't hear it. Well, same way with people. Sometimes you have waves of energy between you and another that adds to the relationship. Sometimes it takes away from the relationship. What I find is that within these eight categories of parent-child or friend or lover or you know, associate, that there's certain unspoken expectations that are working with us. So, like with my ex-husband, with me being grandmother, him being grandson, I just loved him. I mean, he was greatest thing since sliced bread. And he became the spoiled child who wanted things his way, okay? Mm. And after a while, my adult part of me was saying, wait a minute, this is not what I expected in a partnership marriage, okay? Same thing with a coworker. If you have a coworker who's operating like the spoiled child with you, maybe for a while it's very nice because you really like this person, but after a while you're expecting them to be working with you on your agenda, not just their agenda. And so what do you do about it? Well, that's what my book, Relationship Chemistry, Understanding the Unspoken, addresses.
Oh, I see that. So I can see that that could actually work as far as even your boss.
Of course.
You know, either you're working on together on the same page or you're not. So how can people actually use this information?
Well, for example, with the boss issue, if you, and in my book I talk, in fact, I give that very same example in there. Say you have a boss who's son and your father, okay? It doesn't matter what your gender is, you know, because like mm-hmm. a father-son relationship, is there's an interaction with the other person about what we're doing, okay? Mm-hmm. If it were mother-son, it would be more about the creative nature of that son, let's say, that's being appreciated by the mother or being taught. But let's say you're the father and your boss is the son.
Uh-huh.
And you're finding that the boss is not really living up to the responsibilities that you're expecting of this boss. Well, one way to react to that is just be angry about it, you know. Go home and tell your significant other that you're just fed up with how this boss is not getting his responsibilities taken care of, and you as a team leader don't have the resources that you need, okay? Well, you can handle this in what I call a conscious coping fashion, like, you know, people who've done therapy and they know not to just react to things, just to respond, and maybe go around him or do things that just can help take care of you, but kind of push the boss out in a way. However, if you understand that you're the father and he's the son, then you can start operating a way of saying, oh, he needs to learn some more about, let's say, the impact of what he or she is doing on our team and therefore on his or her success. And so you start turning into an educator in how you handle the issue so that you get more success for you and your team. Instead of being angry at him, you just realize, oh, that's who we are with each other. Now, here's one of the interesting things is that so often many of us high-performing women, we have learned and we've operated and we've instinctively reacted since we were little girls to be the responsible one.
Right.
Well, if I'm the responsible one, then the way I continue to be the responsible one is to have people around me who are not so responsible.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's almost like this energy attraction thing. And on top of it, it's how we instinctively react. If we don't see that they're doing it our way, sometimes we lose trust that, in fact, that they can do it okay. And then, you know, if somebody sees that you're taking responsibility, well, sometimes they're happy to let you take it instead of messing up. Yeah.
That is just very interesting. So you can either cope or you try and change your approach and how you communicate with people.
Well, even just changing your approach is a form of coping, which is fine. I talk about spontaneous coping, which is your instinctive reaction to things. Then there's conscious coping, which says, oh, let me know some more about this and how do I handle that? Knowing the true energy between you or this resonance between you and the other person can help you actually cope better. The next step, which is what I've been working on the process for, you know, for myself as well as my clients now for the last 15 years, is how to identify the hardwired life algorithms, I call it. And it's like we've got a systems program that we didn't put there. Okay, maybe our soul put it there. That says, this is how life is. This is how things work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it interferes with our applications programs of what we say we want to have accomplished. So I've developed now a system to find out where those bugs are in the systems program and to help rewire it, to transform it. Now, the interesting thing about this is many people think that their coping is about what I call transforming. What I call transforming is different from that. It's I go in and I have to essentially melt off the solder on the circuit board I have, which is stuck emotion. We have to identify and move and release the emotion that's holding in a hardwired, I call it unloving belief about how life is. Like, I'm the only one who can be responsible. Nobody else is going to do it.
Well, no, I think that's really, you know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about how you go about getting unstuck emotionally and how do you overcome this unloving belief a little bit more. But we need to take a quick break here. This is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to Rochelle Hirsch, and she's telling us about how to really look at our true energy so it helps reduce some of the stress in our lives. You know, and Rochelle, just before break, you were talking about getting stuck emotionally or having these unloving beliefs. How do we actually do that?
Good question. Well, first of all, what I'll say is the most problems that we all run into are precipitated often by stress, okay? Well, what is stress? Stress comes from a variety of different places. It comes from our emotional reaction to things. The same thing can happen to you that happens to me, but we're going to react differently, okay, because of who we are innately, uniquely. I define stress as crunched energy, okay? We feel tight inside. We don't feel a good flow of life energy, of our chi. Mm-hmm. And there are several things that can cause that, but most people think it's all about the emotional stress. It's also things like not getting enough rest or not drinking enough water or having toxins and allergens showing up in your life. So reducing those things that can crunch your energy or stress you is really important. Another antidote to stress that every one of us can use is to choose to feel gratitude. It adds to the flow of good feeling energy. When you add the feeling of gratitude, or you exercise and move energy and add energy, or you sing or you laugh. I did a study with the Atlanta Fire Department a couple of years ago, and one of the best ways they reduce stress is sitting around at night laughing with each other.
So,
all the alternative healing approaches like chiropractic, acupuncture, sound therapy, music therapy, color therapy, they also add and flow good feeling energy. And so those choosing to do these things for yourself adds energy, reduces stress, and therefore reduces levels of problems coming into your life. One of the major stressors in people's lives comes from relationships.
So, I would believe that.
No kidding. So if we see a bigger picture of how come things are happening in our life, and we understand better what I call this true energy between people, so that if your boss is son and your father, or if your boss is friend energy, you can see why the friend energy works easier and better than the parent-child energy. And you can learn, my book talks about how to determine for yourself what these energies are between you and another person. And so suppose you understand that your coworker is grandchild and your grandparent. And you can see that. Then you can use coping strategies to deal with it better. For example, if you cannot trust that that grandchild is going to work to meet your agenda, then you add in extra points of checking it out. You know, you don't just say, do this and expect 3 weeks later it's going to happen. You make sure they're paying attention to your agenda. If the person were friend energy, you could probably let it go and wait for 3 weeks to pass, and there it shows up.
Huh. Okay.
So it's like if you know that it's friend energy versus parent-child or grandparent-grandchild, or hopefully not just incidental, okay, energy, which means that in the project maybe there's high energy, but after it's over with, you don't really need to stay in touch with each other. You can moderate how you manage the relationship with that person to be more successful. Because what you want is for you to be successful.
Sure.
That helps everybody around you be successful. And it's about putting anybody down. It's about you're choosing to be successful. Now, so there's number one is reducing stress, adding energy. Number two is understanding the relationship dynamics between you and another significant person in the workplace with you, or all of them for that matter. Also, using the techniques I described in the book, you're able to test out the energy between, say, two people on your team, which will help you better understand how come their relationship looks a little different from what you might want to have it. And then again, manage it a little bit differently. Okay. Now, the third area of you know, the biggest step somebody can take is not well known, okay? People understand going to therapy and working through expectations and concerns. That's fine, and that's good stuff. But the next step that I've been working with now is find the part that says, I can't have what I want. I really want here.
Sure.
Now, that takes going into emotion that most people have been avoiding their entire lives, okay? And because instinctively we stay away from old hurt, anger, rage, hatred, shame, disgrace that has been there actually since before we were born. This is where the transpersonal psychology comes into play and my whole meditative practice, which has been there since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
it bridges into the spiritual, okay, and understanding how we are unique expressions of life energy itself, that we come from source, and that our deservability to have things does not rely on what we do, even though we think it does. It's almost like our own hardwired beliefs, I can receive, I can have. If that hardwired belief says, there is no value to life, it's only what I do and only what I produce, then we've got an issue where we're constantly trying to create our own value from what we do and produce, or what we get our team to do and produce.
So how can we go about changing that?
Well, the way I learned is I started choosing to heal, and then I would go into things that most people don't. It needs to be facilitated to begin with. But you go into feeling the emotion of not getting what you say you want. Okay? It's not about anger at that person because what they did. No. It's a moving the anger that I didn't get recognized. I didn't get them being responsible. I didn't get whatever. And you're moving the energy. It's like the solder on a circuit board that holds in place that hardwired belief that there's no value except, you know, what I do, or I'm unrecognized. When you start moving that belief, I mean that emotion, you do it for the purpose of healing, and then your subconscious mind starts releasing some of your personal truths that say things like, they don't see what I do. Okay, now, when you've got this bigger picture...
So is it like acknowledging the problem, acknowledging the emotion, acknowledging what you're not feeling like you're getting so you can move forward?
Yes, and it's acknowledging that your own hardwired beliefs are actually creating your experience of reality. Now, you didn't choose these beliefs. These are not your fault. They may have come in through generational stuff, through cultural stuff, through past lives. But they're there, and they shape our instinctive reaction, just like an instinctive reaction like glasses half full, glasses half empty.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not learned through our parents. They are reinforced through our parents and those experiences in our life. But the belief starts with us, and we have the right to change it. And the process for changing it is to go into holding it in place, move that feeling, find the belief that seems like it's true. And when you hit your truth, you usually cry. You hit pay dirt because it's your own personal truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of running up on time here. So what I'm really hearing you say is that in order to really move forward in this is really you need to choose to heal, is what I think I heard you say.
Number one.
And then acknowledge what it is that you're wanting. So you need to understand what it is you want.
Yes.
And then understand where you really like to go, and then move to action to try and change those beliefs about yourself.
Yes, and I have kind of an introduction to this system of transformation in the book, Relationship Chemistry, Understanding the Unspoken.
Why don't you tell us, how do people get hold of that book?
Well, the easiest thing is to go to my website, which is relationshipchemistry.com. There's a link there that can take you either to Amazon, that you can purchase it there, both ebook as well as you can order it directly through me as well.
Okay, so, and that's relationshipchemistry.com,
right.
Okay, and so what are the services that you provide, and how do people get hold of you?
Well, again, through that website, you'll have the contact information and information about the consulting work I provide, including short relationship consults, you know, just to give you a sense of who is this person with me and what's going on, as well as whole transformation programs.
Well, I think this is very, very interesting. Again, the book is called Relationship Chemistry and by Rochelle Hirsch, and the last name is spelled H-I-R-S-C-H.
Yes, and go to YouTube and see my videos on there. Go to YouTube and look for Rochelle H.C. Hirsch. Okay, H.C. is my middle name, just those two. And you'll find me on there.
Well, wonderful. Rochelle, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you so much, Deanne.
When we come back, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about motivation, the four different kinds of motivators. And I'm going to answer the question, can you motivate your direct reports? We'll be right back.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. And I have got a question for you. Can you motivate your direct reports? This is an intentional pause for you to think. Some of you are probably saying, yeah, of course I can. The other one, people going, I don't know, or scratching their head. But let me first tell you about what is motivation. Motivation is that internal force through which a person's interests and efforts are energized, directed, and sustained. It's kind of like the internal Superman that's within each of us. That's that internal drive. And boy, when we've got motivation, man, we can get a lot of work done. And when we're not motivated, we can't get anything done. You know, as a former manager, one of the things I was always asking myself is, what can I do to motivate my employees? What can I do to get them to want to work hard or want to give me their best efforts? when I was a college instructor, is the same thing as how can I get my students to want to study and do well in school? You know, one of the scary things is a Gallup poll that came out not too long ago. In this Gallup poll, I'll tell you, if I was a manager today, it would just make the hairs in the back of my head stand up. Because the Gallup poll, I'm just going to actually read this right to you. Gallup poll, Management Journal's Employee Engagement Index. 29% of employees are actively engaged in their jobs. 54% are not engaged. That's what you heard it. 54% are not engaged. And 17% are actually actively disengaged. I don't know if you added up these numbers here, but this is telling you that the bulk of your workforce is either not engaged or actively disengaged. So now I'm going to ask you that question that I started with, is can you motivate your direct reports? And the bad news is, no, you cannot. Yep, you heard it. No, you cannot. Motivation is internal. It is not something that is external. Now, I do need to tell you, you can demotivate your direct reports. But for them to be motivated, that actually starts internally with them. And I know there's a lot of books out there going on how to motivate and 1,000 ways to motivate your employees. But you need to understand that motivation really begins from within. And that's one of the things that we're always dealing with is how do we deal with motivation? Because motivation starts intrinsically and then the extrinsic factors sometimes play in and sometimes not. You know, this whole motivation stuff was actually started by a guy by the name of Frederick Hertzberg. And Frederick Hertzberg came up with his motivator hygiene theory. And, you know, he was talking about that there were two major factors in motivation. The one is what he called the hygiene factors or the maintenance factors. And those maintenance factors in the working world are things like pay, status, security, working conditions, fringe benefits, policies. Interpersonal relations, those are things that you have to have. And so you need to get, as a manager, you need to get those things taken care of and off the board. You need to pay people fairly. You need to, give people the titles that they deserved and they've earned. You need to make sure that the workplace is safe and secure, especially in today's workplace. If a person's afraid that they're going to be injured at work, that does not create a safe environment for them, and they're going to leave you, actually. So the working conditions are real important, and how safe are they at work. And then fringe benefits. For example, especially in today's workforce, are there flexible work hours? Are people allowed to work from home? These are all fringe benefits that make people want to work for you. But these are maintenance factors. So these are things that employees want to be able to count on. Same thing with policies and administration practices, that it's going to be fair and equal across the board, that the person in the cube next to me is not going to get something different than I am. So all of those types of maintenance factors, or what Hertzberg called hygiene factors, absolutely have to be into play. And after those are already set, then you can look at other possible motivational factors. And those motivational factors are more internal and can change from person to person because each of us see things as differently. For example, I may see a great little reward as a gift card to a bookstore, whereas the person sitting next to me would probably appreciate a gift card to a coffee store where they can get a great coffee or great latte of some sort. I don't drink coffee, so that would not work for me, but a good book would. So we each have different ways of seeing extrinsic types of reward things or motivational factors. But generally speaking, that people tend to be looking at what motivates them in actually five different ways. And those are achievement, you know, that they want to be able to provide an opportunity to achieve in some way, or a sense of achievement in some way. Another one is responsibility, in order to have maybe greater responsibility at work, that their work has some sort of meaning to it, that there's some sort of meaningfulness around their work. Especially with their millennial group. I mean, they're very much into wanting to make a difference here at work. So meaningfulness is a really important piece generally to this generational group. Recognition. Now, recognition, a lot of managers have hung their hat on recognition, that if I give someone recognition, they're going to continue to do work really well for me. Well, recognition is just one of the five, and there are some people where recognition works really well for, and other people recognition doesn't work that well for. Another one, and the last one, is opportunities for growth and advancement. So being able to have opportunities where they can move forward in an organization, they can see that there is a plan for them if they choose to move forward. Now, you need to understand that not all of these work for everybody. I'm going to tell you a quick story here. The first year that I was teaching at San Jose State, and I was teaching organizational communications. And there was a guy by the name of Will. And I had a system set up where a student could turn in work multiple times until they got the grades they wanted for it. So if they had a paper they had to do, there was a drop-dead deadline date. But they could turn that paper in as many times as they wanted prior to the deadline date, and I would correct it for them each time, and I would, so they would know what their grade was. And a lot of times the students that took advantage of this, they would turn in, the first time they'd turn in a paper, they'd get a C or D on it. I'd make some edits and some circle some areas where they could correct it. They'd redo it, bring it back to me. Next time they'd get a C or a B on it, and I'd make some more comments and where they could enhance the paper more, and then they could turn it in a third time and probably get a B or an A on it. And that happened a lot. So that way it was a way of helping students who really wanted to get that A or that B in my class. It was very easy for them to do that. Well, I had this guy by the name of Will. And Will, I just saw him as a guy who could really do great things. Man, I just had in my gut just told me this guy could be really, really great. And so I really tried my very best to motivate him and suggested that he turn in his paper more than once so he could get the very best grade he could. And, you know, one day my students actually had my home phone number so they could call me up if they wanted to get some questions answered. Will called me up. And it was almost, the semester was almost over. And he said, "Prof, I got a question for you." And I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "You know," he said, "based upon everything you've been telling me and the way your point system works, I don't even have to take the final and I could get a B in this class." And I said, "Yeah, Will, you could." I said, "But if you realize that you're only like about 5 points from an A, you are really, really close." And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Will, what's going on here?" He said, "Prof, I got to tell you something." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I got to tell you, this is the best. I mean, I really appreciate everything you've been doing, but I got to tell you, this is the best grade I've ever received. This is going to be the best grade I've ever gotten, ever, in my whole years of, but I've been in school, whether it be in high school or now." He said, "I got to tell you, C is good enough. I got to tell you," when he said that, he could have just stuck a dagger right through my heart. C was good enough. Because I knew he had what it took to be an A student. But he didn't see it that way. For him, C was good enough. In the end, he did show up for his final exam. And he did make about 12 points. And he did make those points that he needed. And he did get a very low A, but he did get an A. But it just always stuck with me. And I've remembered that after I left academia, went into the organizational world as a training manager, that for some employees, C is good enough. And so you take a look at this whole thing of motivation. What does motivate people to bring you their very best work every day? You know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about looking at your workplace and addressing some of those motivating factors in their workplace and what you can do about it. Stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E @deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and I am talking on this segment around motivation and talking about what can you really do to help motivate your employees and looking at those factors and addressing motivators and what you can do about it. You know, just before break, I had talked about that you really can't motivate your employees. The very best you can do is create a climate that motivates your employees to do the very best work they can, because motivation is really internal. And I want to give you a quick example of this. You know, we all here in the United States, we have to pay our taxes, right? April 15th comes around and man, everybody is just crunching the numbers to get their taxes done. So let's take a look at motivation from the view of doing your taxes. So if you wanted to try and obtain a positive end result, what would an example of that be from an extrinsic perspective on motivation. Well, you probably get your taxes done quickly so you can get your refund, right? That would be to obtain a positive. So internally, to obtain a positive, or the intrinsic factors for motivation, why would you do your taxes? Well, internally, it may make you feel good that you got them done. Okay, so you get them done. On the other hand, you may be motivated to avoid a negative. So one is to obtain a positive, but the other could be to avoid a negative. So what would be to avoid a negative, which is why you get your taxes done? Well, if I don't get my taxes done, the IRS is going to put on fines and penalties on what I owe, and then I'll just owe more money. In fact, if I really don't pay my taxes, they can take my money out of my checking account. So to avoid a negative, that would be some examples of avoiding your negative so you get your taxes done. Thus, the extrinsic piece. So what's the intrinsic piece to avoid a negative? Well, the intrinsic piece could be something like, well, if I don't get my taxes done, I'm going to continue to have this burden over my shoulders. I'm going to have added stress. I won't really be able to enjoy my free time until I get the taxes done. So it just makes things a little more internally, a little bit more upsetting. So that's avoiding a negative as well. So motivators can be to obtain a positive, but it can also be to avoid a negative. And sometimes I think managers operate from the avoiding the negative in working with their employees, which doesn't work as well as trying to obtain a positive. For example, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your job. If you don't do this, I'm not going to be able to let you have that vacation time. If you don't do this, then I'm going to put you on verbal warning, written warning, which could lead to termination. So those are motivators to try and kind of threaten your employees to avoid a negative in their life. And those types of things just don't work as well. It's much better to try and motivate employees to obtain a positive in their life versus trying to avoid a negative. So let's talk about some of those to obtain a positive. So for achievement, why don't you take a look at what are some of the goals and targets in which an individual can relate to? What is it that they would like to do? What is it that their own personal interests are based upon what some of the goals are at work? Where do they have a sense of ownership? Some of my employees sometimes felt better when they had a sense of ownership towards a project versus being told what they have to do. Responsibility. Is there a degree of freedom on their job? Where's the area of responsibility for? Do you trust them? Is there a degree of risk involved? Can you trust them to work through a problem without you standing over them? Recognition. Is there any opportunities for visibility? One of the things my employees loved is the opportunity to be present in front of the executive team. Another one is what types of training is available for so they can get better recognition. Meaningfulness. Where's the challenge for them? Is there any personal growth issues that an impersonal might be looking for? The meaningfulness there. And opportunities for growth and advancement. You need to understand that not all employees want growth or advancement, but is there promotion opportunities available? Are they lateral or can they be vertical as well? You know, we're wrapping up on time here, and one of the things that I do want to talk about is one of the problems with rewards, because so many managers think, well, if I just give really good rewards, people will do really well. I got to caution you about some of the negative consequences with rewards. And one of them that is that the rewards do not usually result in a positive attitude change regarding the task that has been rewarded. Sometimes that reward must be kept up and sometimes even escalated to maintain compliance with it, whatever you were rewarding somebody for. Sometimes those rewards can lead to gaming the system, where the employee only tries to do just what they need to do so they can get that current reward. And you also need to know that sometimes rewards may negatively affect the relationship between you, the manager, and the provider of the reward, the provider of the reward and the person who's receiving it as well. So just wanted to kind of give you a heads up on that as well. For those of you who are looking for an organizational coach or trainer in the workplace, give me a buzz and I can talk a little bit more about motivation or any of the topics that I talk about on this radio show. You know, every week I try and bring you high-level women who have areas of expertise where they can give you tips, tools, and strategies that can equip you better for success. And I always end the show with a quote in action for the week. And the quote that I would like to leave you with today is from an unknown author. And the quote is, "The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. And the realist adjusts his sails." So we need to be real. So the action for this week is, your action for this week is to think of a current challenge you're facing and notice whether you're complaining about it, hoping it will change, or meeting it head on with a great attitude. Well, until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.